Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to CITR Radio 101.9 FM. We are currently broadcasting from UBC campus in Vancouver, British Columbia, on unceded Musqueam territory. You're listening to Word on the Street. I'm your host, Jonah, and today I am joined by...
Isaac.
Brenna.
Aiden.
Bryden.
Indigo.
Zubin.
Isia.
And today we're going to start off the show by recapping what we were talking about last week, which is the Women's March in Vancouver. A few of us actually got to go out to the Women's March. Brenna and Isia, would you guys like to start us off? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I thought it was a really empowering experience, actually. You know, we got there early. It was such a cool time to be out there. Everyone was out with their signs that they had made. They had some really influential speakers, actually. I got to be really educated. I had that privilege. I don't know if Isia wants to put her input in. Okay, I'll keep going. So this year's march attracted around 2,500 people. And one of the big problems with the march last year was that there wasn't enough inclusivity with a lot of other movements that those people felt that also that feminism also encompassed. So this year there was an outreach to include a lot more Black Lives Matter activists, Indigenous rights, trans rights, sex worker rights, childcare rights. And some of the speakers that stood out to me personally, I don't know if Isia wants to add anything, hop in anytime.
Yeah, I agree with everything she's saying. I thought it was like super interesting and educational. I didn't get to go last year, so this was my first time attending. And I know like the speeches before the march were probably my favorite part, just because so many topics that I hadn't really thought about before were introduced to me. Like Hannah Heartless, she talked about sex...
Haley Heartless,
I'm so sorry. She talked about sex worker rights, and she brought up a lot of really interesting points that I hadn't thought about before, and I think that's the whole point of these kind of marches, is to get educated about all different types of people. And because it's the Women's March, that encompasses, as you said, like so many different groups, so I think it was really important that they had a more diverse lineup when it came to the speeches.
Yeah, it was really cool. Especially Haley Heartless, when she was talking, like, I felt really ignorant at that moment. And
yeah,
it was really cool to feel so educated.
Yeah.
Another one that stood out for me was this girl. Her name is Noor Fidel. She's an 18-year-old Muslim Vancouverite, and I don't know if anyone heard, but she was attacked on SkyTrain last year. They were yelling like slurs, and
yeah,
just it was awful.
He, like, hit her in the face.
Yeah, it was so awful. So she prepared this really inspiring poem, and she just talked about not apologizing for who she is, but also forgiving the person who attacked her. And so basically saying, like, we are not sorry for taking the gun from your hands and the bullets from your word and your grip. She's not apologizing for revealing who she is, being who she is, and taking a stand, which I thought was like really cool. I was almost crying.
Yeah, it was so emotional. Yeah,
it was very emotional.
I don't know how you could like not be moved by her poem. It was really beautiful, and also like the childcare rights. That was really interesting and important. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's such a basic thing that everyone needs. Like,
yeah, there were a lot
for the kid, but...
and they had mentioned inclusivity of education of Aboriginal children, mm-hmm, and childcare for that, which I hadn't even thought about either.
There was actually a teacher who like brought all her students, and
yeah,
her speech was really interesting.
Yeah, and a lot of points that I hadn't even considered to be a feminist issue, but totally are.
Yeah, 10 out of 10 experience.
Was there any live music that you guys, you know, were listening to? Anything that stood out?
We weren't personally there for it, but they did have Daughters of the Drum, which is a Vancouver-based collective of Aboriginal women drumming, singing, dancing, and basically keeping Aboriginal traditions alive. So they led the parade and the, not parade, the march, which was pretty cool.
It
was
kind
neat.
Of a parade.
They had...
No, yeah, okay, you're right.
So that was cool. They were very involved with that.
Awesome. It's really good to see, you know, marches like this coming in and being super inclusive of, you know, pretty much everyone. Black Lives Matter, trans rights, immigration policies, Aboriginal stuff. Like,
childcare,
everything just coming together and kind of being presented at the same time under similar issues. Open the floor to anyone has any opinions on the issues you brought up.
I think adding in more inclusivity for the Women's March, I think that's really key, because I went to last year went to the Me Too movement in 2017, and that's one of the major things they were talking about is there is a huge disparity in response when it came to sexual assault against white women and then sexual assault against women of color. And it's obviously, it's an important matter for everyone, but I think when the response is different, it's not fair, it's not just, and I think that needs to change.
Another thing I wanted to add to was last year, the board of directors for the Women's March, I think it was made up of 5 white women, and there was this huge problem about the lack of inclusivity, whereas this year, movements reached out to them, and that's what I liked about it, was that they were so accepting. They were like, hey, we acknowledge that we really messed up. Let's make it better. How can we make this better? How can we include other movements that are also feminist issues? And they talked a lot about stigma against sex workers, trans people, minorities, other sexualized people, and about how we can reduce the stigma around that, be more accepting of it, and recognize the violence that is subjected towards these groups.
Yeah, it's great that you guys got to go out and see that. I think moving on to a different topic. Last night at CITR, we had a jam session hosted by the Blank Vinyl Project, BVP. Bunch of musicians came in with their instruments and just kind of, most of them never met each other, never played with each other, and just got together, made some music, and it was a super, super cool experience. A couple of us were there for it. Isia, Bryden, myself, and Isaac. Let's talk about a little bit about our experience with that.
Yeah. It was just super cool to see, like, all these people who I hadn't even met necessarily before, and just, like, the chemistry that they could find in each other just by, like, playing music, right? So, like, there was a guy on the drums, and there's a couple bass players, and I remember we were just standing there, and we were like, yo, this guy, the guitar is gonna shred it, like, because you could tell, like, just how his guitar looked. It kind of had, like, a zebra design.
It was, like, a metal guitar. That was, like, you know he's gonna start just... And he throwing did. Down, oh, he tore it up.
Oh my god!
But it's such an interesting experience, you know, as someone who's never really been to a jam session, as someone who's never been much of a trained musician, seeing these guys come together, never meeting one another, and then sitting down, looking deep into each other's eyes, getting that connection going, and just putting out some of the most just powerful, just super spontaneous music that I've heard. It was a lot of funk, a lot of blues, a lot of jazz. We had a couple bands come together, do a Coldplay cover of Viva La Vida.
There was violin. I really liked the fact that there was a violin player
that's
there. Because
cool.
Typically it's like guitars, drums, bass.
Yeah.
But like even she was mentioning how she wasn't sure how she would like fit into the kind of like vibe or whatever, but she enjoyed it. So I thought that was cool.
No, it was awesome. Yeah. And I mean, like, admittedly, a couple people looked really uncomfortable. Like, you know, you're in front of
it's
20 other people,
yeah.
Kind of thinking, how am I going to perform in front of all these people? Am I going to mess up? But pretty much everyone in the room got on stage, did something. We had a couple singers. Bryden
and
hopped
Jonah.
Up. I hopped
Jonah
up, played some drums. It was terrible.
No,
I
was
had
good.
Such
was
a good time. It was so much fun. This might be a good time to announce the formation of the CITR Word on the Street House Band. You can catch us at any CITR events. We've got Indigo on the drums, Bryden on guitar. We got Isia on the triangle.
Sure. Zubin.
It'll happen eventually.
Rockin' sleigh bells.
Trust me.
Yeah. It was really cool. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't know, BVP Blank Vinyl Project is kind of a club at UBC where musicians can come together and just make music with each other. It's specifically designed for musicians on campus who really don't have a place to showcase their talent. They can come, start a band, go to open mic nights, you know, have some house parties. It's a overall good time. They're hosting great events all throughout the year.
Definite shout out to BVP. Even if you're just looking for some people to play with, it looks really cool.
Yeah. So we're going to actually cut to a break right now, and when we come back, we're gonna have an interview with, well, we'll keep it a secret. We have a a little thing coming up soon. Let's be right back.
I'm To know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
Right, if you're just tuning in, that was Cadence Weapon with his new track, well, not new, but from his new album track, My Crew in Brackets Woo, produced by K-Trinata. Cadence Weapon, otherwise known as Roland Rolly Pemberton, is an Edmontonian rapper and producer who released his first studio album, Breaking Kayfabe, in 2005. It was a glitchy underground rap album influenced by Def Jux artists like Aesop Rock and Cannibal Ox and older artists like Farside. His second album, After Party Babies, in 2008 explored more electronic production and was influenced heavily by artists like Basement Jax, Aphex Twin, and Daft Punk. His last album before his new album, Hope in Dirt City, came out in 2012 and saw him move to a sound more focused on live instrumentation influenced by funk and indie. Both Breaking Kayfabe and Hope in Dirt City were shortlisted for the Polaris Prize. And before being a rapper, Pemberton also wrote reviews for Pitchfork and Styles magazine. Okay. His new album was out January 19th. Check it out on Spotify.
Yeah, and so last week we had the pleasure of having an interview with Cadence Weapon over the phone. He's not in town, but so we talked to him about the new album, the creative process, and everything about that. We're gonna play that for you guys now. Enjoy.
Okay. So it's start of a new year. It's been 6 years since your last album, Hope in Dirt City. Mm-hmm. How have you been filling your time since then?
I've actually just been sitting in a chair and staring at the wall the whole time. I've been making music the whole time. I put out a book of poetry. I've been doing some kind of like hosting stuff. Like I was a narrator for the show on Viceland called Payday. And I've been doing a lot of writing. So I don't know. It's weird. It's like time is an interesting thing because to me it really didn't feel like a long time between albums. But then I looked up and I was like, wow, that really did come out in May 2012.
Yeah, it's crazy. Okay, so kind of moving on to your upcoming project. So in the past, you've kind of worked on music and produced, from what we understand, pretty much all of your songs, if not a vast majority. And on this new album, you have you've been working with big name artists like K-Trinata. How is the creative process different from your previous albums where, you know, you're pretty much the creative force behind it, and now you're taking outside artists and working with them to make a piece of art?
Yeah, that's been a big difference for this album versus anything I've done in the past. And I guess I was just interested in, you know, making my music feel like a little less insular and just self-focused. You know, so the idea of just like getting in the room with other producers and writing songs with other people and keeping the environment when I'm making music more social, because I think it's made the result more social as well. You know, like I feel like that's an important thing. The vibe of like the room that you record in and the environment and mood of how you're recording as well. You know, so I definitely think this album, I achieved that. You know, it definitely feels like warmer and like in a lot of ways, like more fun to listen to.
Okay. So kind of going back to the K-Trinata track for a second. My Crew was released as a single, and on Spotify, it had a really interesting cover art for it, which was a screenshot of a web browser. and we were looking at it, and we saw, you know, he had a couple tabs open at the top, and one of them was a Wikipedia article on double consciousness. Would you like to speak a little bit about the idea of double consciousness, what it is, and how and if it had a major impact on your album subject matter?
Yeah, I'm glad you noticed that. That was just a little Easter egg I put in there. The concept of double consciousness is something I've been thinking a lot about in recent years, and it is like one of the themes that I come to on the album, specifically in the song System, when the first verse is from just the perspective of myself, really, or just like a black man, and the idea of like thinking about how you're going to be perceived by other people and also like how you perceive yourself. And that is a major theme in this album, I would say, is the idea of like knowledge of self. It's something that I think I rap about a lot on the album. And I feel like it's something that, you know, we all are searching for or trying to approach in our own ways. But I feel like I've gotten to the point where, and I guess this album in a lot of ways is me like analyzing that for myself and like really reflecting on it and being like, huh, I have done a pretty good job of doing that.
No, I mean, I think those are all really interesting points. Like, personally, as like someone who's like born and raised in Vancouver but like has like ethnic heritage from outside the country, like it's always, identity is always this complicated thing to me. So yeah, it's, you know, it's interesting to hear different perspectives on it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it's something that's important and that we need more in Canadian music too. It's just different viewpoints and, you know, just more diverse ideas, you know, mm-hmm. because I definitely felt like when I was growing up, you know, in Edmonton, it wasn't as diverse as it is today, but it really felt like when I put on TV or something, it would be just, you know, the same kinds of people doing the same kinds of shit.
Take it back to your new album, obviously.
You know, it would be like, I always think of Red Green, Red Green Show, and that was like supposed to represent like your like average Canadian or something, you know?
I actually had a question. You were talking about, you know, being from Edmonton and, you know, your hometown being a large part of your music. So I was just wondering, you know, when you were touring with Born Ruffians, you know, touring outside the country in the States, like, how does it feel to be a Canadian artist, a Canadian hip-hop artist, you know, from a place like Edmonton, Alberta, like, places that no one's probably ever heard about or know about? And it's not like being from New York or L.A., which are kind of, like, capitals of hip-hop. Like, how does that, what is that like?
It definitely, I think it's going to be a little bit different than it was before, because when I first was going out on the road, you know, maybe like 2006, 2007, it was like daily I had to like
sounds
explain
like
where I'm from,
but,
who
I
am, what I'm
doing.
You
mentioned Kanye too, like you think rapper-producer
like,
combo
it,
is kind
it definitely
of like
felt like I was like
now
a
new normal,
you know,
in
in the circus, like the crane bear.
As like an individual being both a rapper and a producer.
I felt a little bit like that, you know, especially when I was like
not really.
I feel like I'm seeing it less, and it was like
I feel like now it's
like
the thing of like
I have to explain
doing
the
whole album with one producer is coming back
as well.
So
you know,
that
like,
was like
all those
very
records
easy.
With like Metro
Boomin
and stuff.
But I think now
when
you have
you know,
so
like
many
that,
Canadian
rappers
becoming
a thing,
know,
and also the collaborative
artists
who are like
breaking
out in
right
the States.
Now.
It's like whenever I go to the States now, I go
well,
to
I
LA, I hear more artists
like,
from Toronto than I hear from LA on the radio. You know?
Exactly, exactly.
So,
and also just like
definitely rides like
vibes.
Drake,
you know, like
door,
if
like
something works
back,
once,
the weekend, like,
just like let's control
working
radio.
Together, you know?
that's like something
yeah,
that
I'm
working on some music now with somebody, say, 10 years
with
one producer, and it's been like
why is
really
Toronto
fun.
Such a hotbed?
Because, you know, it's like you're able to let
music,
the other person, like,
hip-hop coming
they focus
out,
on the music,
experience.
I'm focusing on the
is
lyrics.
Is there anything that sets
it's,
Toronto apart
nice.
From, say, Montreal
no
or Edmonton or even L.A. for...
Yeah, well,
kind of
that's why that album
really
is so amazing,
for the radio.
Though, right?
Yeah.
It's the thing that's been missing.
Okay.
Missing from
I
his music for quite some
that
time.
Been kind of
he didn't have anybody else
under
like,
the surface
giving him
for
any
a long
advice.
Time.
It seems so
like
obvious that
like,
it was like
different, like
he's just get whoever to get
with,
the beats, whoever the hottest
their own
people are,
and the communities
the
where they're
every
time.
To, like,
and it's like I knew that he was like, falling off.
See my face, all they see is race. Look at me with distaste and they make haste. Black ace can't be replaced. When I first hit the frame, I looked out of place. Now I'm back with some new bass, trying to do some new things in a new space. I write pictures that you can't trace to imitate 4K in a soundstage. You niggas tripping like a suitcase. If you think you can rip it like how I did it, I'm different, you need to switch your position. I'm on a new wave, like I played in your rhythm. Trying to take sweet dreams, bring them into fruition. Trying to take enemies, put them into submission. If you got equity, we could go into business. We ain't really gotta speak, I just want you to listen.
Michelle Williams. I've been in it a minute, but now I'm back in business. I invented my own style, you quick to mimic. No inhibitions, no intervention, no indecision. What they make in offense of what I make transcendent. To be specific, you're so defensive, Kawhi Leonard. You think it is what it is, but no, it really isn't. I've been upping my fitness in case you press the issue. Break you out with the quickness and take your sexual issue. Benevolent, never celibate, stayed relevant, I'm eloquent. I could turn this verse into a testament. Forever decadent, stay with the beverage. It's prevalent, it's evident. More with melanin, no effortless, so ebony. Stick with no cold remedy, ripping the shows regular, hitting the road heavily. Yo, now look how I go. Time to see what I have in store. Grind with me on the dance floor. Make a nigga wanna take a cab home. Now look how I go. Back and forth and to and fro. One question I ask y'all. Can you give me a drink before last call? Yo, can I get a rum punch, please? Thanks. Try to come and compete when they see us on the street. Yeah, they know who we be. Yeah, they know who we be. Yeah, you know it's me, Cadence Weapon, Harrison on the beat. DJs, MCs, try to come and compete when they see us on the street. Yeah, they know who we be. Yeah. Every time I roll through, I'm sipping slow with my whole crew, doing everything to make it fast like we're supposed to. Kill it every time we in the lab, man, that's old news. Thinking about the obstacles we passed that we broke through.
Chilling in the crib, drinking soju. Don't know how it is, let me show you. Get it out, we live, we don't know you. Tell the whole truth, no, we won't.
Trying to win with my whole team. Like it's road rules. Used to drink gallons of the tread that was old school. Used to keep a bottle in my bag when I come through. Now I feel patient. Drink it just to taste it. Don't drink it till get wasted. Different conversations in my liquor cabinet. Got good at conservation. Back in Montreal, I got high like constellations. Now I keep it low when I'm on St. Lowe. Used to play every day. Right now I'm feeling grown. I was getting blazed, you could call me Rolling Stone. Sleeping in a snowbank, almost didn't make it home. Had to change my path on my own. Now every time I roll through, I'm sipping slow with my whole crew. Doing everything to make it fast like we're supposed to. Kill it every time we in the lab, man, it's old news. Thinking about the obstacles we passed that we broke through.
Chilling in the crib, drinking soul. Show you, get it out, we live, we don't owe you. Tell the whole truth, no we won't.
Play the background in so many scenes, made me feel like Steve. Buscemi, I don't stay long, always gotta leave. I might go global and cop a sports team. I might jump a mogul like I'm going skiing. Back then, wasn't vocal, hated being seen. Now I'm feeling boastful, living out my dreams. Lately I've been bi-coastal, getting paid to speak. Pretty good for a heathen and a Philistine. Nah, ain't shit here sweet, ain't no grenadine. When I'm with my squad, I stay ballin' like I'm in the league. Liquor had me falling, crawling like a centipede. I had to get smarter. Yeah. Now every time I roll through, I'm sipping slow with my whole crew. Doing everything to make it fast like we're supposed to. Kill it every time we in the lab, man, that's old news. Thinking about the obstacles we passed that we broke through.
red drinking soldier. Don't know how it is, let me show you. Get it how we live, we don't owe you. Tell the whole truth, no we won't. Only letting you down. They tried everything around. We won't let it get us down. They tried everything around. We won't let it get us down. We tried everything around. We won't let it get us down. We tried everything around. You know we ain't trying to die. We gon' make it out alive. You know we ain't trying to die. We gon' make it out alive. You know we ain't trying to die. We gon' make it out alive. We gon' make it out alive. We gon' make it out alive.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. We'd like to apologize very quickly for some technical difficulties, and we'll be airing the Cadence Weapon interview next week instead of this week. But still, should definitely check out the album. It was an awesome, awesome project that Cadence Weapon put out, self-titled, so Cadence Weapon album is also called Cadence Weapon. Yeah, let's hear some opinions. We all listened to it. We loved it.
You just heard My Crew, Destination, and Soju off of it.
Yeah,
I think it was interesting. I was reading an interview, and he's been around Canada a bit. Originally from Edmonton, now he's in Toronto, but he was in Montreal. And Mac DeMarco was his neighbor for a bit, and also on that street was Grimes and Blue Hawaii. So it was cool because like they had this one street where all these musicians were, and obviously like Mac DeMarco is really big right now. So I thought that was interesting, and also you can definitely tell. I haven't heard his older stuff, but that he's matured a lot with the themes that he's discussing. So when I was reading this interview, there's just so many different important issues he talks about, like racism in Canada especially, and with his working experience, and a lot of self-reflection, false humility when he's talking about you in Canada. For some reason there is this stigma you can't talk about that you want to be successful in his experience. He also talked about abuse of power in the party scene and the nightclubs and stuff like that, and sexual assault. And he said, oh, also, I need more women on my tracks. So that's why he had some more female features. And then Soju, you know, it's about Soju, but he said, oh, it's cool because I'm old enough now to actually like enjoy drinking instead of just binge drinking, was kind of his feel about it. And also just the afterlife and the power of dance, just like a lot of great themes, a lot of profound ideas.
Yeah, he has been tackling some themes like that in his work before, but not really like this. This is definitely, he's coming at it from a different stance. He's well into the second decade of his career now, and you don't get a lot of artists that are, you know, still innovating their sound and trying something new, but Cadence definitely is, yeah.
I feel like, especially compared to his older stuff, he obviously, like, he's consistently been tackling important themes. I feel like he's gotten better at being less long-winded in his lyrics. However, I want to stir up some controversy here. I feel like he does have a little more ways to go with that, just adding fluidity to his lyrics and to his songs, and just still working on getting the point across without maybe, again, being a little more overwinded.
I mean, it's definitely, it's a great project. give it a listen, but he does still have, he's an artist with a lot of potential, and that's yeah.
I think for me, when I was listening to this personally, when I listen to a hip-hop record, around 40 minutes is a really good length for me, and that's about how long this is. And also there's some songs I was listening to, when I heard them I was like, oh, this reminds me of this person. Like with My Crew, I was kind of feeling like if it sounded like Through the Late Night, like Travis Scott and Kid Cudi. And when I heard Destination, I was kind of getting some like 90s Outkast vibes, and that for me is just like something I appreciate a lot. And yeah, I don't think like he was perfectly consistent, like that's pretty difficult to do, but for me it was a pretty easy listen, just 40 minutes straight through.
Yeah, I think especially given that he's kind of experimenting more, working with different producers, the sound on so many of these tracks are different than one another. And sometimes it's a really, really good hit. Sometimes it falls a little short, but I think that experimentation and that willingness to be open with changing your style, you know, going a little bit more electronic here, a little bit more R&B, a little bit more funk here, lends to a more diverse sound. And I think in the next couple years, we're going to see some really, really special stuff coming out of this from Cadence Weapon.
Yeah, and you mentioned like the diversity of sound on the record, and as Isaac was mentioning earlier, like the topics he talks about are also super diverse. And I think right now it's like almost become like a popular thing to like have political lyrics or social lyrics or to be like woke, but it's like for me it's like the worst thing ever when you can tell it's not genuine and they're just doing it for like, I know, credit or whatever. But with mm-hmm. Cadence, I feel like it does come from a genuine place, and that's what I appreciate, that it doesn't seem forced when he talks about like racism or whatever, because it's his experiences and it's just like a part of his life. So I appreciated that.
Yeah, I think it means a lot more when it's also someone who is not huge yet. I feel like he's maybe at the point where like he has that potential, because when I was reading this stuff, like my crew, originally the beat that he was gonna rap over that is now an Anderson .Paak song. So it's just like stuff like that. Yeah, that's interesting, right? It's called Glowed Up. And then also like, he has some producers that produce Drake, Big Sean, and also if you guys know Sampha mm-hmm. Records. Like, so he's just like on the edge of making, I feel like. And yeah, when he has those profound ideas and he's not like super big yet, I feel like that comes from a lot more of a genuine place.
I think going back to the point of being genuine, being honest in your music, so many of his songs are from a very, you know, personal place, his own experiences. I was reading an article on exclaim.ca about his song High Rise, and you know, a lot of rappers will talk about gentrification and all of this stuff that's plaguing various communities, but he experienced it firsthand going, you know, looking for a house in Toronto with his girlfriend. It's almost impossible, and so they had to settle, you know, living in a high rise or living somewhere far, far from the city center. So it's he's not messing around and just pandering to certain groups and certain ideas that have been played out. He's really conveying his own experiences.
Yeah, and you can see that in like the song System as well, like when he's talking about working in a clothing store and like his work not getting, or like someone's work not getting appreciated. It's such a like, you'd think such a simple situation, but it's way more realistic than, I don't know, tackling like a very large political issue. It like makes it close to home, and like you can tell it's genuine.
Yeah, absolutely. We're gonna take a really short break for a couple of ads, but keep Cadence Weapon in mind. We'll be coming back to him right after the break.
Tired of the gender binary, gender policing, or just want to speak your truth?
Join CITR's Gender Empowerment Collective.
This group of radio makers is all about centering the voices, issues, concerns, and experiences of women identified, transgender, intersex, two-spirit, genderqueer, gender non-conforming, non-binary, and gender fluid folks and allies.
Anyone can join, no experience necessary.
Like the Gender Empowerment Collective on Facebook or email volunteer@citr.ca.
Our show, Intersections, airs Thursdays from 4 to 5 and features music, interviews, events, news, commentary, basically anything we care to talk about.
See you then.
Hello everyone. Is school stressing and is campus safety concerning you? Join UBC Tai Chi Club to de-stress and learn self-defense. Simply search UBC Tai Chi Club on Facebook to receive notifications about our lessons. See you there.
AMS Refugee Relief was founded in 2015 as a reaction to the Syrian refugee relief crisis. Last year, we brought a family of 10 living in a parking lot in Lebanon to Vancouver. This year, we're trying to do that again with a displaced family in Turkey, and you can help. This Friday night at the UBC Nest, AMS Refugee Relief, in collaboration with the BVP, is putting on a multi-artist performance with acoustic, dance, classical music, and vocals. And it's all by donation with a minimum of a toonie. So if you're looking to support the refugee situation or you just want a cheap date night, come by the Performance Theater, also known as The Egg, at the UBC Nest at 6:30 p.m. You can also visit our Facebook page by searching AMS Refugee Relief Sounds for Syria. See you then.
And we're back. So we're just going to keep talking about Cadence Weapon a bit here. And I think it's just important to emphasize, you know, this guy is from Canada, and, you know, he's almost making it with the bigger artists and stuff, and how important that is. You know, we see a lot of artists come out of Toronto, especially now, like Drake, The Weeknd. You got Nav coming out now, too. Anyone else have artists that they're into right now coming out of Canada?
Out of Vancouver, we got rap duo So Loki. We got Traffic, you know, UBC's own. Missy D, a bunch of sweet rappers at Rappers Without Borders in Vancouver. There's a lot of good music that's probably going unheard in the rest of the world, but it's not going unheard here. I feel like it's different when people from your community are making music, as opposed to, you know, SoundCloud rapper from Cali or like a trapper from Atlanta. It's like, yeah, you're making really good music, but you can't connect to the topics and what you're talking about as close as an artist who's local, who's talking about issues that are close to home.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, back to Cadence, like, if you go read on, like, his Genius page or whatever, like, there's, like, different references he makes on his tracks to, like, obviously places in Toronto, Montreal, Edmonton, his hometown, like, so you have that, like, if you're from any of those places or you've been there, like, you can make those connections. It's a big difference.
I feel like especially artists that are just from Canada generally, even if you see them, you're kind of giving them a chance, then you see that little, like, location, you're like, oh my gosh, they're from Canada. Okay, I have to re-listen to them with new ears, just because you want to be able to support that. And it is not rare per se, but you do, there is that one, definitely that sense of community that you see. They're like, oh, you're Canadian, sick.
Yeah, and actually last Friday, a couple of us went to a show, local show, hosted at a 333 Clark Drive. It was Winona Forever, Club Sofa, Shway, and Cantaloupe Lounge. A bunch of, you know, kind of bands you might not have heard of before. I think Winona Forever is pretty well known, but it was at this, like, it was just this super indie band. It was just super great atmosphere. It was like a 10-minute line for the toilet anytime you need to use it. It's just like this little garage on Hastings, you know?
Yeah.
But it was such a great show. Like, you guys want to talk about it just a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. So that was my first time at 333. And I heard, like, you know, it's pretty much just a garage, and that is what it is. But it's cool because it's so intimate. And I remember when I came in, literally, I didn't realize at first the guy who greeted me, he's one of the guys in Shway, right? I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Well, it's so weird. But, yeah, it's super cool. And you can just literally talk to the artists, and they're always with you in the crowd, and it's just, it's super inclusive. It's a good time.
Yeah, no, I've been going to these shows for, like, a couple years, and it's always a good time, and, like, it's dope. I mean, like, especially when you're, like, still in high school, because, like, everything else is 19+.
Yeah.
And, like, all the just shows are dope, and, like...
How did these kind of shows get started? Because I know you were telling me a couple stories about high school.
Oh, yeah, there was this one... I mean, I know, though, there was, like, Trash City Productions, which was, like, this 17-year-old girl's project from, like, Kits High School. I think she ended it recently, but that was always really cool to learn about, because it was, like, just a teenager put together some stuff.
Yeah, my one of my friends, actually, he's from Port Moody, but he was saying he used to go to Trash City, and then the first show that he went to was in, like, this Korean, like, community center or something, because that's how, like, low-key it was. And I thought that was, like, super interesting.
That's actually really cool that you got to go to the shows during high school. Like, how did you find out about that stuff?
Just, like, friends who were in a band, actually, who were playing the show. So that's why I ended up the first one. And then, like, just going to other shows with other friends, like, basically, And then getting to know the band a little better.
No, it's an awesome experience. I guess, like, that's more unique than house parties and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's like house parties with, like, better, like, instead of, like, an aux cord, like, bands.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, $10 at the door or whatever, like, $5, like, it's affordable.
And all-ages shows, all-ages venues like that are actually really cool because you kind of start to form these little communities out of it because you're finding the same people going to the same shows. And it's definitely a good way to meet people, a good way to meet up with people that have similar interests as you, and to meet bands, too. And I feel like that's not exclusively a Vancouver thing, too. I feel like there's communities like that all over Canada.
Yeah, it's just bands you almost never hear about, right? It's crazy because, like, I played soccer with Isaiah, who's in Shway and Winona Forever for, like, I don't know, 10 years or something. And just, I was expecting it to be like a kind of legit venue with like a, you know, bouncer, arms crossed, blocking the door. But I was just like, walked up, Isaiah's just chilling there in his big neon orange jacket. He's like, Jonah! Just gets up, gives me a hug, and it's just a super organic environment that you don't get from any other concert experiences, which kind of leads into a question I had for all of you guys and to think about at home. Would you rather go see, you know, a big, big name artist like Drake, Kendrick, Kanye, I don't know, Rush, Led Zeppelin, for all you old timers. Would you rather go to Rogers Arena, BC Place, and watch them from the nosebleeds or not such great seats? Or would you rather hear a band you've never listened to, but in a really, really intimate, organic environment?
Okay, I'll go first. Sorry. I think this is easy right away for me. I'd rather go to an intimate environment, small, whatever, some smaller group locally. I mean, like, this past Friday, I think that was just like a great example of like how that feels. And I mean, it's only $10. When you go to these bigger shows, it's gonna be so much more than that, especially if you're trying to cop resale tickets. And we all know how horrible that is. I mean, I feel like I'm pretty good at getting good seats even the bigger shows, but still it doesn't beat those smaller intimate shows.
Speaking of which, you're going to the, what is it?
The championship
tour.
Yeah.
K-Dot.
Yeah, so, yeah, my friends and I just bought tickets today because, if you guys aren't aware, it's, like, all of TDE, so it's, like, Kendrick, J-Rock, Schoolboy Q, you
know, Absol, SZA.
Yeah, SZA. SZA's really big right now, but not Isaiah Rashad, unfortunately, but everybody else. But, yeah, it's a crazy lineup. I mean, but that costed us about, like, $150
mm-hmm.
in comparison. I mean, like...
It was, like, a $10 show on Friday.
Yeah, and we got to see four bands.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You get to see the best Filipino bassist in the world.
Yo,
Cantaloupe Lounge. So
if you're listening right now,
you killed it.
You know, Filipino yeah. kid on.
And also, do it on the sax and do it on the trumpet too.
Yeah. Do you guys have any more? Yeah. Would you rather see intimate show? Would you rather go to a big concert? I feel like we're probably gonna have similar answers, but
I avoid like big shows at all costs unless I like really love the artist.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like no matter who it is, if it's a small show, I'd probably want to go anyways because it'd be fun. But if it's like a stadium, that's just stressful and expensive and just not as fun when it comes to experience.
I feel like the quality of music at a large, expensive show is always you're paying for the quality and you're paying for the well-knownness of the band you're seeing. But one of the things that contrasts with smaller venues is definitely the crowd, too. I remember I bought Weezer tickets way back when, and I was so excited. I was like, oh, this is going to be so good. And they were. They were amazing live. But it was at this huge, big crowd, and it was just... The audience was the one that wrecked the experience for me, whereas I've never had that experience at a smaller venue where it's always been a close, intimate group of people that are all there for a good time.
I think also I prefer a smaller venue with a new band because I don't know about you guys, but for me, some of my favorite ever bands are bands that I was kind of neutral on going into the concert and then they put on like an amazing show and I left completely obsessed. I think that's pretty common with new bands.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to a couple of big hip hop shows. Recently, I went to Vince Staples at the Vogue. I went to Kendrick in Montreal. I went to Kanye when he was here. And they were all kind of like, a bit of a letdown. Chance the Rapper, Childish Gambino as well. Like, it was always, I would love these artists so much. And then I'd get to the show, the seats wouldn't be so good. You know, you don't interact with the artist like you do at, you know, some guys crowd surfing at this little concert. Let him crowd surf. Some guy tries to crowd surf at, I don't know, Kendrick. And he's getting
so
beat.
Bad.
Up, he's getting pounded on.
And I feel like we idolize these big artists so much and we have such high expectations going in, whereas lesser known people, smaller artists, we're just like, yeah, okay, whatever. Like, I'm there for a good time. I paid a $5 cover. It's not going to be that big of a deal. But then you end up leaving with such a better experience than what you expect. So it's like expectations versus reality kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, I will say, though, the production value of some bigger shows is... amazing.
Oh, true.
Kendrick, amazing. Like with the Kung Fu fighters on stage.
Yeah.
Holy.
The choreography. And also Travis Scott with the bird.
Mm.
That was pretty crazy. But yeah, I think definitely like just the security is like a big part of those bigger shows and that can kind of ruin it. Mm. I mean, also for me, when I was at J. Cole, I was not on the floor. And usually like I'm on the floor with all the intimate shows and for Kendrick I was and I'm going to be again. But the problem I have with not being on the floor is, like, you want to stand up and sing, and if you're really passionate, right, and you want to, like, get out there, but then all the people around you aren't the same, and it's just not as great of a time.
Yeah, that's, like, half the fun of the show is, like, enjoying the music with other people who are all equally as excited about it as you, and when you're around people who, like, are just sitting and don't really care, it's super upsetting.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess the consensus is we would rather see an intimate show than,
like,
for sure,
unless
a bigger
it's,
show.
Like, Pink Floyd's, like, Animals Tour or something.
Oh, yeah.
If it's a, like, big production, like, there's some value in
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I went to Roger Waters in October, and, like, that was, like, one of my exceptions, and it was just insane because they had the whole Animals factory and they had the prism
really
and everything and the wall, like, yeah, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, in Israel, right?
In Israel? Yeah.
So maybe it has to do more with genre, because it's the only shows I've seen at big venues are hip-hop shows, and typically hip-hop shows are a little bit, it's harder to connect with the artists because there's no, like, crazy instrumentation going on. It's just backtracking and then a lot of ad-libs. Skirt.
I went to the Red Tour, Taylor Swift, grade 12. That was quite the experience. It was a beautiful experience.
Like, okay. All right. So,
contributed that.
That was me and my brother and then two buddies, and we walked down, and it's like 12, 13 year old girls, and they were grade 12 with their dads. It was so weird.
T Swizzle bringing people together. I love it. Yeah, so anyone have any more bands they want to talk about? Any upcoming shows? I know
Tyler the Creator.
This Friday, Tyler the Creator.
Oh, Higher Brothers, if you're going, it got postponed to March 1st because I'm going.
Oh, tragic.
So, yeah, say hi if you see me there. Brockhampton's coming. Really hyped about that.
Ah, the show always finds its way back to Brockhampton. Yeah. I love it. I love
the
it.
Theme.
It's not for another month, and we're just like, we gotta fit it in somewhere.
Honestly, we should just be named the Brockhampton Show.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie. They get a feature on every single show.
Word on the Brockhampton.
Word on the Brockhampton.
Tight.
No, but Parquet Courts is coming on the 15th, too, and Dancing's coming on the 10th, if anyone has any interest in those.
Yeah. Day after Parquet Courts, I think, is JSOM and Japanese Breakfast.
Oh, I love Japanese Breakfast.
If you've listened to Japanese Breakfast, if you haven't, you should, and you are a bad person for not. All right. So thanks for listening, guys. This has been an awesome experience. Make sure you give Cadence Weapon's album, Cadence Weapon, a listen. It's, you'll enjoy it. Trust me.
He has an interview on Q, too. I think you can probably check out on CBC's website.
Yeah, all his stuff's up on Spotify, Titter, Bandcamp, probably SoundCloud. Check it all out. Groove Shark. We got Pandora up in here.
And then check in for our interview next week.
All right. we'll see you guys next week. We're going to close out the show with a One More Winona Forever song. They just came out with a new music video, Heads or Tails. So check out the video. It's awesome. And give this a listen.